opportunity and the privilege to just be able to come together and walk through his word. And so we are grateful for that. We greet you, beloveds, with Jesus' joy, certainly thankful and grateful that God has given us this opportunity to come together to study his word. I'm grateful that through the avails of technology, I am able to do Bible study live on Tuesday morning. Those of you who are joining us via our website, the webcasting channel, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, you get the benefit of joining us live for Bible study on Tuesday mornings. And so I've got my brothers and sisters here in the sanctuary with us, and we are certainly grateful and thankful for that. They are waiting. I tell you the truth, Brother Tremblett is ready for Bible study, and if I don't start quickly, he gonna jump straight up out this pew. So we're gonna get started with our walk through the word of God. This is our Old Testament word walk, and we are certainly grateful and thankful. But of course, before we get started, let's take a moment, let's bow our heads, let's invite the power and the presence of God into our Bible study this morning. Most holy and all-wise God, we tell you thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for closing us in our right minds. Thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. Thank you, God, that you blessed us to see this much of year 2025, not by any goodness of our own, but totally by your mercy and your grace. We are here, and for that, we want to say thank you. God, I pray now that you would speak to us, speak through us, allow your word to come to life to us today, that even as we walk through your word, we will apply your word to our hearts, that we will have a closer walk with you. As always, God, I ask for clarity of speech, clarity of thought, that we will rightly divide your word to your people. And I tell you thank you for this chance and for every chance. This is my prayer. Offer it now in the name of Jesus. We pray and we praise. And the people of God did say amen. To God be the glory for this opportunity. We are certainly thankful, blessed, and grateful to dive into the word of God. So let's pick up where we left off. The cliffhanger was left when we wrapped up in early December. The cliffhanger was there as we looked at chapter 13. We were looking at chapter 13 in dealing with the report of the spies of the promised land. Remember, we dealt with that in our last session, that they were 12 spies, one spy from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They had a responsibility. They had an assignment. What was the assignment? They were to go and spy out the land that God had promised them. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a moment, but let me continue to build so that we can continue to move forward. You would remember that in the process of that, each one of the spies went over and viewed out the land. They all said the same thing about the land. The land was indeed plenteous. The land did flourish. It was a wonderful land. It was a beautiful land. It was filled with bountiful harvest. There were, remember we talked about how they had the grapes, and they brought the grapes back to show the nation of how bountiful the land was. They all agreed on that piece, but then they were split by a vote of 10 to 2. Remember that? 10 of them said, the land is flourishing, it is beautiful, it is bountiful, but we can't obsess the land. We cannot partake in the land. There's no need in us going to the land. Why? There are some giants in the land. And those giants, watch this now, those giants to us look like giants, and to them, we look like grasshoppers. But remember I told you when we were looking at chapter 13, nowhere in chapter 13 did we see a report of the giants. That was their own view of themselves. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. In other words, they thought so small of themselves that they totally, y'all ready for this, left God out of the equation. And would we agree this morning that anytime we leave God out of the equation of our lives, we'll always find ourselves thinking small? Anytime we limit God, we always will think small. And so we saw that. Those 10 that stood with great doubt, can I put it that way? Stood with great doubt. There is no way we can take this land. We cannot obsess this land. We cannot partake in the land. The land is indeed plenteous, but because of our size. Now watch this now, y'all. Here's the other thing that I saw that in preparation for chapter 14. Did you all not also realize that they forgot how large they were numerically? They forgot. These people, the nation of Israel, was well over 2 million men strong. Remember, I said 2 million men because in the Old Testament, they did not count women and children. So if there was one man married to one woman and they at least had one child, they would have had at least 6 million people strong. Now, remember, in those days, they were allowed to marry multiple wives. So all of these different things that we're looking at shows that their problem was not in God's ability. Their problem was in their ability to believe what God had said. Why? Before they even started traveling to the land was already promised. And I need to share that with us today as we dive into chapter 14, because as we look at chapter 14, one of the things that I need to make sure that we are seeing and we make sure that we understand is that if we do not have the proper mindset, the proper position, we will often miss out on the greatness that God has in store for us. Yeah, this lesson is perfect timing as we begin yet another new year, because here's the thing that I need you all to understand. What good is it for us to say we believe God, but then don't want to put the faith in action when it's time? Something to think about. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And so it's the way we look at things, not necessarily the way it is, but you got to have faith the way you look at it.
It's
that's a struggle every day.
Absolutely.
We'll see ourselves as we're not going to fall, but he will always have
mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And the thing about it is, here it is, it's all in the way you see it. Right. If you walk by sight instead of by faith, then it is going to be a problem. Why? It's based on what I see. See, when we learn how to allow ourselves to basically say, God, I don't know, but you know it all. Can I say that again? God, I don't know. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. But God, I trust you to lead me and guide me every step of the way. Which leads us, that question leads us right into our lesson today as we dive into chapter 14. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with chapter 14 today because I knew I had to spend some time picking us up where we left off. And then I want to sort of spend some time showing you what chapter 14 is all about. But in this time of sharing, I want to show us yet another requirement for Christian service. This should be maybe our sixth or seventh requirement. Here it is. This is chapter 14. Service requires proper position. Service requires a proper position. People of God, if we're out of place, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, it will affect our level of service. There is a posture for kingdom service. there is a position for kingdom service. And if we are out of place, beloveds, you're going to miss out on what God has in store for you. Can we deal with it for a few moments? Let's deal with it. Let's take a moment to look at the introduction. Because in the introduction, there are a couple of things that I want to point out to you that I pray that you will begin to see with this lesson from chapter 14. Let's take a look at it. Two points. First point that I want to dive in as it relates to this particular service requiring proper position. Number one, in this lesson, we're going to see a lesson, here's the word, on perception. This is a lesson on perception. What is perception? What is the definition of perception? It's about to appear on the screens. Perception is the ability to see, to hear, and to become aware of something through the senses. In other words, it's based on my spirit man. Did y'all catch it? My spirit man helps me out to determine where I should be going, what I should be doing. People of God, if we're going to serve the kingdom, watch what I'm about to say. You can't serve the kingdom in your flesh. Amen goes right there. And truth be told, I think we've seen enough of that in today's day and time. There are a lot of folks who try to serve God in their flesh. They try to serve God based on what they think, how they feel, never mind what God has said. And we've already seen that with the nation of Israel, have we not? We've seen that already. In chapter 13, we saw that. We saw that they served him based on what they saw. They served him based on how they felt. And may I remind us, this is not the first time they did it. Amen. We talking about folk the Bible described as stiff-necked, hard-headed, hard-hearted, can't tell them nothing. They think they know everything, but forget that everything they had, God gave it to them. How do you come from slaves to wealth without the hand of God? Come on now. And then your wealth is acquired by those who had you bound. Is it making sense? Remember, go back with me to the book of Exodus when they were told to leave Pharaoh. Pharaoh gave them money, paid them. That's a good way to put it. He paid them to go, paid them to leave. Why? You causing more stress for me. I'm sick of dealing with these gnats. Sick of dealing with these frogs. Y'all got hail and hail turning into fire and burning up everything. I've lost all my firstborn. No, y'all got to get out of here. Amen. You know, are we so anointed that it causes problems for our demons? I'm teaching better than y'all saying amen this morning. Are we so anointed? Are we striving every day to be in position with the kingdom that when the devil comes against us, he already knows he's fighting a losing battle? That's key. Because here's the thing, and I think we've said this so many times, is that not what happens to us every day of our lives? When I would do good, That's a reality. So it's all in how we perceive it. It's all in how we sense it, how we hear, how we are aware of things through the senses. Second definition of perception, moving real quick today. Second definition of perception is understanding that it's the ability to be aware, and there's this word, to understand. People of God, what good is it for us to just know the Bible? We got to learn how to apply the Bible. What good is it for me to pick this book up and just read it and don't apply it? Didn't the word say, you know, thy word have I hidden where? Not my head, in my heart. Why? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There has got to be something in you that basically says, here it is, Butch, even if it looks like a problem to me, I've got to have something within me that says, God, here's your opportunity to prove yourself. Amen, somebody. Because there have been every moment in our lives, they have been there to build our faith, to teach us how to pray. Y'all, where would we be if we didn't have any issues? I'm trying to create some. Where would we be? Yes, but I'll take it a step further. We are a people, much like these folk, who will only trust our Creator when we can see what He's creating. Mm-hmm. Albert, come on. Let me make it live. New Testament. Let me make it live. Jeez, time flying. Let me make it live. Do y'all remember Thomas? Remember Jesus had died, crucified. Everybody else, you know, basically is scared. Thomas says, unless I see it, then and only then will I believe, right? Y'all remember what happened, right? Jesus stepped into the room. He didn't call anybody else but who? Thomas, come here. Come here, Thomas. Come here. Look at my hand, Thomas. See that hole in my hand? That means that they drove nails. Thomas, look at my feet. There's a hole in my feet, Thomas. Or better yet, Thomas, give me your hand. Stick your hand in my side, Thomas. The Bible says Thomas fell for dead. Lord, I believe. What did Jesus tell him? Jesus told Thomas, you believe because you see. But blessed are those. Come on now. Blessed are those. Blessed comes from a Greek word that simply means the ability to prosper. Blessed are those. There is a stage of prosperity for those who have not seen, but yet they believe. Can I encourage somebody this morning to realize that God has set you up for greatness, even when you can't see it? Amen. So we got to understand that. So there are four things in chapter 14 that I really want to deal with. In this particular lesson, we're going to see four things. Let me show you those four things real quick. The first thing that we're going to see, watch this, Butch. We're going to see the danger of overthinking God's plan. Can't say amen, say ouch. Because how many times are we all guilty as charged? Amen. I overthink it. I'm guilty. My wife is in this room. She'll tell you. That's one of my biggest things that I've still got to work on. I'm overthinking. Why they acting like that? You know, as if you can do something about it. Absolutely. You know, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is this? Is it something I've done? Amen. Can't say amen, say ouch. If it's something I done, maybe I should have done something different. Maybe I could have said something different. Maybe I could have. And we are actually beating ourselves up. Y'all ready for it? Over things that aren't even our fault. The danger of overthinking God's plan. Second thing we're going to see in chapter 14 is the importance of following godly direction. How many times do we mess up trying to do it our way? Amen. Waste a whole lot of energy, waste a whole lot of emotion trying to do it our way. And that absolutely. You find yourself being defensive when folks just come at you any kind of way. We're going to see it with these folks who I might remind you are our cousins. Amen. Amen. Third thing we're going to see in chapter 14 is the need for prayer and worship in problematic times. Let me tell you something right now, and I'm sharing this with us out of a heart of love for you. In 2025, if you don't do anything else, aim to get a prayer life and aim to have a life of worship. Amen. In 2025, we've got to do better about making prayer priority. Hear what I'm about to say. We've got to strive to make prayer our top priority instead of making it our last resort. Once again, you can't say amen, say ouch. Ouch. Amen. The Bible teaches us that men ought to always pray. Men ought to always pray. Men ought to always pray. Men ought to, y'all catching it yet? Always pray and never lose heart, never faint. Come on. And then equally, we should be able to develop an attitude of worship. Can I help us for a moment? Because when we think about worship, we often equate worship to praise. There is a difference. Can I teach us real quick? The word worship comes from a Hebrew word that simply means respect, value. So when we worship God, we are giving him the respect, the honor, the value that is found in his name. Well, Pastor, if that's worship, then what's praise? Praise is celebration. Praise is gratitude. Watch it, for what God does. When God does something for you, you praise him. Come on. When God wakes you up in the morning, you ought to give him praise. God allows you to move from one place to another. We ought to give him praise. Amen. God pulls us out of darkness and allows us to see the light. We ought to praise him. But the difference is that if he doesn't, can you still respect him for who he is? Come on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, help me out right there. Because here they were being placed in a fiery furnace, being in a place where it would have cost them their lives. And Nebuchadnezzar says to him, when you hear the music, you're supposed to bow down. They said, look, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us. And look at what they said. And even if he don't deliver us, do we have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of reverence and respect for God, that even when he doesn't do what we want him to do, we're still giving him the glory and the honor and the respect for who he is? So if praise honors God for what he does, worship recognizes God for who he is. God does things for you that nobody else can do. God does things for you that you can't even do for yourself. Have you ever thought about that? And I'm going to move on because I'm starting to get excited. Have you ever found yourself looking at some situations and wondered, how in the world did I come through that? So I've got to give him the respect. And we're going to see that was a problem with these folks. Every time an issue came up, they were ready to cast blame. If God had left us in Egypt, hello, we would have at least, isn't that what they said? We would have at least had a decent burial. What? You more worried about a funeral than you are living. Amen. Fourth thing, and then I'm going to jump right in. Fourth thing, we've talked about the power of overthinking God's plan. We've talked about the importance of following godly direction. We've talked about the need for prayer and worship, even in problematic times. Well, the fourth thing I want to make sure that we see in chapter 14 is the power of obedience to God, even in times of adversity. Let me be honest with us. We all going to have some rough side of the mountain moments. Amen. Amen. You may as well just face the reality. We're going to have some rough side of the mountain moments. Can I say it again? We're going to have some rough side of the mountain moments. But here's the thing that I need us to hold on to. The thing that I need us to hold on to is recognizing that even in the rough side of the mountain moments, it never should change our position with God. You know, folk get mad with people in church and they take it out on God. Make it live, Pastor. You know, you're upset. You can't get your way. You're mad. So you withhold God's tithe. You know? Or here's another one, you know, we bounce. That's what it called. You know, we bounce. And then here's the big one. We get to a point that it starts affecting our faith. You know, I get away from studying God's word. I get away from prayer. I get away from spending time with God in worship. Amen. Now, what I'm saying is going to hit all of us, that we really need to do a little bit better in our walk and in our relationship with God. So in Numbers chapter 14, in my study, I've come across a few positions. There are five positions that are found in Numbers chapter 14. For the time that is mine to share for the remainder of my time, I want to take a look at the first two. Today. So we're going to really zero in on the first 10 verses of Numbers chapter 14. All right. The first one, the first point, the first position that is required for us in Christian service. Number one, we got to learn how to be consecrated before we complain. We got to be consecrated before we complain. I'll be glad to. Consecration simply means that I'm sold out to God. Complaint is just what it is. How many times do we find ourselves complaining when it's not happening like we want it to happen? Let's take a look at it. Let me allow us to see it through the eyes of Scripture, and then we'll take a look at it. Let's take a look at the first five verses. Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. English Standard Version, of course, appears on the screen. The Word of God says this: Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, Would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Lord have mercy. Or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become our prey. Would it not be better for us to do what? Go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Verse 5, Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. Now, let's tie in what we've already talked about in chapter 13. They've heard the report. The report was split 10 to 2. 10 said that they could not take the land, right? They have talked about the giants that are in the land. They've talked about everything that's wrong with the land. Never mind, you see the fruit of the land. You see the productivity. But even after all that you have seen, what ends up happening? Verse 1 says, they start crying. They start crying. These folks had a very simple response to what they had heard. Here it is. They saw the bad news of the 10 spies and responded. People of God, how many times have you seen Christians respond negatively to bad news. Amen. Oh, Lord, what we gonna do? Oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. The whole nation, y'all see that in verse 1? Starts crying. The whole nation, the entire nation, verse 2, starts grumbling against the leadership. The whole congregation says, would that we had died in the land. In other words, they were accusing God of taking them out of their comfortable spot to let them die in the desert. Of the 10 spies. Absolutely. 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 Majority rules. And sometimes, y'all, I think this lesson shows us that sometimes the majority can be wrong. Amen. Well, let's go a little bit deeper. Let's go a little bit deeper. You've seen the miracles, okay? The land you just scouted and gave a negative report to is the land that God promised you before you even started traveling. So why was it necessary for you to find something wrong? Y'all ready for it? With something that God already said was yours. And watch this now. This goes all the way back to Genesis. Chapter 12. When God said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy father's house. And go to a land that I will show you. And if you do it, I'll make your name great. Y'all, when does faithful obedience take priority over what I think and what I feel? Here we see it, y'all. They crying in verse 1. They grumbling in verse 2. They accused the leadership. So much so that look at it. They said, would that we had died in the land of Egypt. If we had stayed where we were. How many times have you ever, you yourself, have stepped out and done something and then when it didn't go like you wanted it to go, you were quick to say, if I had just left this alone. If I had followed my mind. Amen? Now, again, once what I'm saying is going to get all of us. It's going to get all of us because these people do not realize that they set themselves up for failure, not only because they refused to believe God in the midst of negativity, but they complained about it. So when I talk about consecration before complaint, Brother Tremblay, I'm basically saying that we've got to learn how to trust God even when it looks like the odds are stacked against us. We've got to learn how to take God at his word and not get so hung up in the complaint. Can I make it live? Can I make it live? Church folks have got to stop talking about where they've been. And let's focus on where God is trying to take us. Amen. I remember 40 years ago. 40 years have come and gone, darling. Y'all can go ahead and laugh. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. So look at what happens. Look at what happens. It gets even better. It gets even better. They say, why is the Lord bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? These jokers were speaking death before they even got there. Mm-hmm. Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Now you've spoken death over your family. Can I make it live for us today? We got to be careful of what we speak. We got to be careful because we can speak life or death over our own situations. Sometimes it's best for us not to say anything. Amen? And they said to one another, look at this, y'all. They were so messed up. They had rejected God's deliverance. They rejected God's provision. Now they want to reject God's leader. Sound like church, don't it? Don't it sound a little bit like church? God brings you out. And instead of thanking God for bringing you out, you still talking about what he just brought you out of. Mm-hmm. Let's go a little bit further. They rejected God's provision. All of what they had, they would not have had if God had not provided it. Come on. You know, Pharaoh gave it to him, but God set it up. And then now you're going to come against the one that helped you get out of. They rejected God's leader. They came for Moses. This is not the first time. Amen. So what are we saying when we talk about this? We talk about being consecrated instead of complaining. Well, I got about 6-7 things I'm going to show you, and you're going to see it based on what we just talked about. All right? Let's take a look at them. The first one that I need you to see is understanding that when you choose complaining over consecration, unbelief will spread like an epidemic. My daddy used to say it this way, Butch. Daddy used to say, a lie will get 100 miles before the truth can get his shoes on. Amen. You don't believe it? Get in conversation with somebody and watch them deal with the negative. Mm-hmm. I have never seen so much in my life scandal against churches, against leadership. That'll hit the street faster. Amen. You know, I was watching on Facebook yesterday, as a matter of fact, there was a pastor down in South Carolina who stood a young lady up before the church, you know, and had her apologize because she got pregnant out of wedlock. And you all know my position on that. I've often said this. First of all, that's wrong. Because number one, if you're going to stand the girl up, the church, she apologized to the church, you know, because in their eyes, it brought shame to the church. Okay? I'm about to go a little bit further. But the thing that really sort of vexed my spirit was when the pastor had the nerve to tell them, don't give her a baby shower. And bet not none of y'all go to the baby shower. What? Here is a moment to minister to one who has fallen. And you continue to push her. And I said this to Felicia. Y'all forgive me for that, but she is Felicia. I said to her when I saw the video, you know, what really stung me about it is, since when, as a pastor, are we slave masters over God's people? Don't you give her a shower. You bet not nobody in here go. What? Come on. Did you see? Wait a minute. Here's a teachable moment. Jesus didn't even do that with the woman caught in the act of adultery. Never said she was pregnant. They just caught her in the act. And Jesus said this, he that is without sin among you. Amen. Amen. How many sitting up in there did the same thing she did? Absolutely. Absolutely. Go get your husband. Basically, all she should have said was, which one?
You know? Which one? Jesus said, you got that right. Because you got five of them. And the one you messing around with now is not even your husband. But when Jesus got through talking to her, that same woman went back and told the whole town. Do y'all not realize that sometimes the church can cause more harm than good by being churchy? Teach JT Worthy. I'm going to say that one more time. Sometimes we are so religious, we don't know when to be spiritual. Oh, we know so much Bible until the Bible has to be applied to our lives. But let a man do what? Examine. Unbelief spreads like an epidemic. Let me move on. Second thing. Misinformation from faithless people will set up mourning and murmuring. Tell me you don't see that in today's day and time. Tell me we don't see that. Folk just, as my daddy would say, reach up into the sky, pull a lie, and just tell it. And folk take off with it. I cannot tell you how many times, and I'm going to change the word. It's not hurt so much as it is disappointment. How many times people have been disappointed because we take misinformation or we take a piece of the story instead of the whole story? Now, somebody may be saying, now, how does that apply? That applies even here, because what do we see here? They took the report of the 10. Never mind Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua said to them, yeah, everything that they have said is true. We don't deny everything that they say is true. But the one thing that they didn't tell you that we think we need to tell you is, if the Lord delight in us, he will take us to the land and he will give it to us. See, sometimes, y'all, we got to make sure that we are not operating in fear that we miss out on faith. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? All right, let's go a little bit further. Third thing I need us to do is remember Ephesians 4:26. You got your Bible? Let's go there real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 26. It's going to pop up on the screen here in a moment as well. You see it? What did it say? Stop right there. In your anger, don't sin. Now, see, here's the thing, y'all. The sin is not in the anger. It's what happens when we get angry. Amen. In your anger, do not sin. Keep reading. Do not let the sun go down. Okay, now it gets a little more interesting. Because how many of us know somebody who's mad, been mad, stay mad, and has forgotten why they mad? I'm talking to the kingdom of God right now. That's mad. I mean, folk been mad for 20 years. Still mad. They come to church mad. Sit next to you mad. Come on. Why am I mad? I've forgotten why I'm mad. But I'm mad. You in a bad fix. But it's real. It's real. Some folks, watch this now, y'all. Let me talk church for a minute. Some folks are mad at you, not because of what you did, but because of what somebody else said you did. You ain't done nothing to them, but they mad at you too. Hello? You know, the late James Cleveland said, some of them don't like me just because they don't like me. I ain't never done anything to them, but they just don't like me. He said, I'm not angry with you about it. I just ask you to be patient with me. God's not through with me yet. Three more, actually. Here's the next one. We have got to learn how to avoid, we must avoid, rather, operating in a mentality that we have been delivered from. Let me say it one more time. I need y'all to catch it. We must avoid operating in a mentality that we have been delivered from. These folks were so comfortable with slavery that they wanted to go back to slavery. Come on, y'all, make it make sense. I got to believe they knew it. Let me sort of add something to it. I believe they knew they were in slavery. They knew they had been delivered from slavery. But that was all that they knew mentally. They were still enslaved mentally. They had a slave mentality. Think about it. Now, and we can sort of quickly shoot back through history. Remember in the book of Exodus, they had seen all of the plagues, right? God did not allow one effect of the plagues to come their way. They saw all of that. They saw God deliver them from the hand of Pharaoh, right? They saw all of that. They saw that they got to the banks of the Red Sea. Red Sea before them, mountains on each side, nation of Israel is behind us. What did they do? They went to complaining. If you had left us in Egypt, remember what happened. Moses stretched out the rod across the Red Sea. East wind came, blew the Red Sea up, and they marched. Come on now. They've seen all of this. They've experienced all of this, and they are still complaining. Can I make it live for us? You were sick. God healed you. And some folks still complaining. Still mad. Come on. Still mad. Can't have their way. They mad. Is it making sense? Making sense? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. 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 Mm-hmm. How do you overcome it? First of all, we got to be open and honest enough with ourselves to basically say, I cannot overcome it. I can't do it. Okay? The same God that has kept me from here to there, if I learn how to trust him more. Now, again, and this is the thing, that's a process for all of us. That's why we got to learn how to show grace to folks who don't necessarily have it together. Because there are some things we have caught a hold to. But you got to remember, it took you time to get to where you are. Amen. Which really, I got to be honest, I got to take a moment, sidebar, and just help us here for a moment. Because one of the things that hurts the church is when the church becomes critical of the church. The church becomes critical of the church. You got a new convert, a babe in Christ, just getting started. And then when they make a mistake, you ready to kick them to the curb. Amen. You've been in church all your life. Who said you had it right? We forget where we came from. We forget those who were patient with us. You all have often heard me tell this story about those sainted mothers in the church that would pull you to the side. Come here, baby. You're so precious. You're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. And all the time they boosting your ego, mama was pinning down your skirt. A skirt too short, that split too high. Come here, baby. I want you to be wonderful. I want you to be great. The time she got through pinning that skirt down with safety pins, you couldn't even walk. But then they blessed you with a little piece of peppermint and told you to keep on moving. It was, and that part, you didn't hear anything else about it. You didn't hear, it wasn't spread among the church. It wasn't spread among the members. Is it making sense? So we've got to choose to be consecrated before we complain. Everything is not going to go the way we think it's going to go. But who do we trust? David said it's better to trust God than to trust man. Amen? Let me wrap this up. My time is just about done. Number five, we do not know better than God. Let me say it one more time. We do not know better than God. Everything I know, God taught me. Where I came from, God brought me. Who I am, God made me. Where is there room for me to complain? Come on, let's talk to this nation. God delivered them, they rejected it. God provided for them, they rejected it. They actually, watch this, y'all, even turned against God's appointed leader. They rejected him. Here's what happened. They cut themselves off from their only legitimate source. And that's exactly what happened. He turned them over. Remember the Tower of Babel? They were told it ain't time to build it. So they went on trying to build it. Y'all remember what happened, right? Should we knock them off the building? No, we ain't got to knock them off. All I'm going to do is confuse the language to the point that they think they're asking for bricks and they get mortar. See, sometimes, y'all, how many times have we said this? God will move in such a way that he will change things and they can't even blame you for it. Here we see that. They blaming Moses. When we have studied this far, Moses never moved until God told him. Amen. And y'all, when we learn how to move when God tells us to move, we will never go wrong. Now, last thing. Consecration before complaint, number six. We must respond properly to opposition through silent prayer. Silent prayer. Verse 5. Y'all see it? After all of this complaining that had happened in the first four verses, verse 5 said that Moses and Aaron did what? Fell on their faces. Before all of the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. Can I tell you from experience, sometimes you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say anything. But if you start praying, come on now. Just start, Father, in the name of Jesus. We got to learn how to respond in prayer. We've got to maintain a posture and a position of prayer. Amen? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I believe it.
So sometimes, y'all, we create drama when we feed into drama. Amen. Everything does not require response or reaction. Teach JT Worthy. Everything does not require response or reaction. Did y'all not notice that? Moses and Aaron didn't say nothing. They just fell on their face. Lord, handle this for me. That I just heard it. That's it. Yeah, absolutely. God will work it out. Here it is, y'all, and your fingerprints will be nowhere to be found. All you got to do is sit on the sideline and let God do what he does. Is it making sense? Oh, my God, time flying. Let me check this second position. Second position, short and sweet. Let's hit it. First position, we got to have consecration before complaint. We got to live a life that brings glory to God. Second thing we got to do is we must maintain some boldness in the face of opposition. Now, here's the promise that you see here. The promise that you see here is you're going to have some opposition. Amen. Let's look at it. Verses 6 through 10. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land." Look at verse 8. "If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us." Y'all missed a place to shout. Look at verse 9 one more time. "Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us." "Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Did y'all think they got the message? No, they didn't. Look at verse 10. "Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel." Now, again, here's the thing. They are split by 10 to 2. They've heard the report of the 10, right? They ran with the report of the 10. Now here comes the report of the 2. The Bible says the first thing they did was they tore their clothes. Tearing your clothes is a sign of grief. They tear their clothes as a sign of grief. It basically... Caleb and Joshua tore their clothes. They were grieved. Wonder why? Well, let me see if we can explain it. They were the only two that remembered what God said. Sometimes, y'all, even in the lowest of moments, you must not ever forget what God said. You can never forget what God said.
you can never lose sight of what God said. Amen. Amen.
That's all you need. Let me see if I can make it live. Let me see if I can make it live, Brother Tim. Let me make it live. Let me make it live. Anybody still believe one yes from God is all you need? One yes from God will withstand a million no's from your enemies. Amen. God's word is true. When God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. He didn't ever ask you to figure it out. He just wants you to trust him. Amen. So here we got 12 spies who have seen everything that God has done, have seen the delivering hand of God, have seen God bring them out over and through. But only two remembered all of that. Only two. They said to them, look, first of all, look at it right there with me. They said, look, the land is an exceedingly good land, right? The land that we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. But they go to verse 8, y'all. There it is. If the Lord delights in us. In other words, what Caleb and Joshua are doing here is basically telling them, y'all, stop thinking based on what you think. Stop thinking based on what you see. And see the hand of the one that brought you all this way. What a lesson for us, y'all. What a lesson for us. What a lesson for us. What's the lesson for us here? The lesson for us here is we should never, ever lose sight of God's hand of protection, promotion, and provision. Never lose sight of it. Never forget who it was that brought you when you couldn't even bring yourself. Amen? Amen. Amen. If the Lord delights in us, look at what they say, that he will bring us into the land, and then once he gets us there, he'll give it to us. In other words, he's basically saying those giants that y'all are scared of, God got that under control. Can I talk to myself for a moment? Maybe y'all get the message. Some of them giants that think that they got their upper hand on you, God got them. Those folks that are seeking to manipulate and control you because they are intimidated by your anointing, God got them. All you got to do is walk in obedience. Amen. I'm about to show it to you. It's right here. The only thing you got to do, verse 9, only do not what? Rebel against the Lord. And do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. God says to them, listen. I need you to realize that those folks that you are afraid of, God's about to set them up where they're going to work for you. Come on. Here's a quick reminder. You remember what he did with those Egyptians? With those plagues. Remember how he handled those Egyptians at the banks of the Red Sea? Why would you be afraid now when you saw everything else that he has done? People of God, sometimes we need to learn how to check God's track record. Has he ever failed you? Has he ever let you down? No, then don't stop trusting him now. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Wow. There it is. Absolutely. That's it. That's it. When I THINK, I cannot help but THANK. And that is the moment, watch this, Butch, when problems become opportunities. It becomes God's opportunity to step into your situation and prove that he is who he said he is. Four things I got to show you, and then we're going to wrap up for today. Four things. Let me show you these four, and then I'm done. Number one, we've got to learn how to stand for right even when we're in the minority. You got to stand for right. Caleb and Joshua stood for what was right. If the Lord delight in us, then he'll bring us to the land. Secondly, don't y'all tear this room up. We must remember the promise of God is still good. Matter of fact, y'all got 30 seconds. Hebrews chapter 10. That's our theme scripture for this year, y'all. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 36 real quick. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Verse 36 said, for you have need of endurance, King James Version says, patience, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. If God said it's yours, it's yours. Amen. This land was theirs because God promised it to them. All they had to do was walk in obedience. Third thing I need us to see real quick is we must learn how to see God even in trying times. Here's reality, y'all. There are going to be some trying moments. But here's your prayer. Lord, help me to see you. Help me to see you. Help me to see the opportunity when all I see is a problem. Show me your will, God, so I don't get in your way. Amen. Fourth and finally, we must be consistent with God's word, God's will, God's way. People of God, what do they teach us here? They teach us that the proper position is whatever God says. God, show me which way you want me to go. God, help me do the things that you want me to do. Let me live my life so that it brings glory and not shame to your name. That's the thing. I'm stopping right there, beloveds. I'm going to stop right there. We'll pick it up next week. Any questions in the house? Those of you that are joining us live via live stream, if you have questions, this is your moment to drop those questions in the comment section. While we are still here, we'll have an opportunity to see those, and we will attempt to answer those questions to the best of our ability as we are led by the Holy Spirit based on our study of the Word of God. We thank God for this opportunity. Thank God for the privilege. Thank God for the chance to be able to share in his word together. It has been good for us to be here. And I thank God for the opportunity. Thank God for those of you who are here equally. We thank God for those who are joining us via live stream. In the way of announcements, quickly, let me quickly remind us of a few things. Don't forget, tonight, 7 o'clock, we'll be right back here. If you could stand a second dose, amen. You're more than welcome to join us this evening in person. Those of you who are joining us via live stream, this lesson will be rebroadcasted at 7 o'clock on tonight. So we're looking forward to that as we are attempting to make some changes into the new year. On tomorrow, do not forget our hour of power prayer.
that is held from 12 to 1 via the telephone conference line. For those who are asking, that number is 425-585-7728. From 12 until 1, Minister Stephanie and others will be on the line praying and singing and testifying and encouraging one another. So we invite you to connect. To those parents of our youth choir, don't forget, youth choir rehearses tomorrow at 6. Praise team rehearses tomorrow at 7. So we ask those members of those groups if you would be present. Thursday at 11:30 and 7 p.m., we are continuing our study of the book of Romans and our New Testament word walk. So we certainly invite you to join us virtually on all of our streaming sites on Thursday at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Finally, to those of you who are still planning to go to Durham on Saturday, please do not forget, the van will leave the church at 7:15 on Saturday. So we're asking those of you who are planning to travel, please, ma'ams and sirs, be here and be on time. Y'all know how our van drivers are. Y'all know their philosophy. Amen. If you show up at 7:16, you're going to have to walk to Durham. Amen. 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 Blessings upon all of you is our prayer. We thank God for all of you. Listen, let's close in a word of prayer and we will bid each of you a wonderful afternoon. Father, in Jesus' name, we say thank you. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity to walk through your word, to gain knowledge and understanding of your word. God, I tell you thank you. That even in the times that we have fallen short, even in the times that we have messed up, you continue to look beyond our every fault and continue to supply every one of our needs. God, for that, we want to say thank you. God, I ask right now that you would bless those who are here with us in the sanctuary. Equally, we lift up those who have joined us via live stream today. God, I pray now your blessings upon them. Lead them, guide them, cover them, keep them, protect them as only you can. God, we stand on your word and we stand by faith, knowing that your promise is still good for us. So God, keep us and we'll be kept. Bless us and we will be blessed. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. For without you, we are nothing. But with you, all things are possible. For these things and so much more, we simply say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and praise. Amen, amen, and amen. Blessings upon all of you. Have a wonderful afternoon. You all be blessed and be saved. And know as always, we love you all.